Welcome to the Simplify Healthcare Podcast. My name is Anuradha Meneses. I work with the digital experience team here at Simplify Healthcare. The focus of our podcast today is on individual and small group healthcare payers and the trends that are impacting the industry today. I want to welcome our guest, Namrata Dhanavade, Vice President of Strategic Solutions at Simplify Healthcare. Namrata, would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Thanks, Anu. Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to hear our thoughts today on some of the trends in the ACA market space. I have spent about a decade learning about benefits, what it does, and what it takes to make them more innovative and then, of course, easily operationalized. I've also always been interested in data, whether it's parsing it for a pattern or, you know, even formulating logic that would automate transformations. So I'm very happy to be here to talk through some of it.
Oh, that's great, Namrata. Thanks for that introduction. And I want to thank our listeners also for tuning in. Let's get started with the first question. So, Namrata, what are some of the trends we are seeing in the individual and small group market right now? And do you think some of the trends that we are seeing now are here to stay?
So, I know individual and small group can be very tricky to grow business into, since, you know, the healthcare is not mandatory for an individual to purchase, nor for a small group employer to offer. That makes the strategy to grow into this market very difficult to evolve, because it needs to evolve all the time by offering exciting benefits at a cost that is difficult for a buyer to say no to. So on individuals, from my own experience when I was, you know, much younger and I didn't feel the need to purchase insurance, I know how difficult it was, you know, to find something that was, you know, low cost, but at the same time, still enough value. I've seen that, you know, historically, though, the percentage of small firms offering employee group insurance has been on a decline, dropping, you know, I think to 31% in 2019 from the 50% in 2000, even though the market is, you know, so huge and should be attractive to payers.
Yeah. Those are some good insights. Namrata, what do you think are major challenges here?
I think the challenge is availability of complex and flexible benefits that are of value for individuals and small group employees, really. The challenge is, again, also to operationalize with savings into the benefits for one state or future state, if you will. But it is not really very easy to administer and have great margins to do either of the above. And hence, the ACA market is not very attractive to payers. So in summary, there are lesser plans to choose from that are expensive, which then drives down enrollment, which then makes this market less interesting, and thus leading to even lesser set of more expensive plans. It's just a cycle spiraling downwards. In some states, really, you know, small group employers are actually paying higher premiums for lower value plans. I see that in day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And although there is a bit of a drive to make this work in the small group space, it often serves as a recruiting tool to attract new employees and even to incentivize and retain existing employees, because, you know, who doesn't want better benefits? Mm-hmm. So that is what I think is going to continue to allow to keep this, you know, more. Is something that, you know, the payer market is going to want to do, but, you know, are at the same time being cautious and taking baby steps, if you will.
All right. So would you think cost is still a major barrier for individuals who want to buy insurance?
Definitely. I mean, when an individual is purchasing anything, the first criteria is always cost. And mm-hmm. then what am I getting for it? Right. I think it's just human nature, right? Look at the cheapest of something in a category and then look at reviews like we do on Amazon. Right. I don't think there are many individuals who are financially able to afford to look at it the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, though, during the pandemic, payers, you know, needed to take a quick pivot, you know, because they had to build individual, individualized health plans in the backdrop of many Americans losing their jobs because they were also losing their employee-sponsored insurances. So demands were high for discounted or short-term plans to manage these medical emergencies, and payers had to really deal with numerous cost of care scenarios. So the cost really was important to attend to, because that would be the only way for the payer market to make it attractive, and also for the members, you know, just from a healthy nation standpoint, to be able to serve that population.
Do you think healthcare coverage is still a top priority for small businesses?
I think so. It continues to be a priority for small businesses. I think almost 90% of small business employers said that the employee health and well-being was their primary concern in a survey conducted by, I think, Cigna and Oscar Health Foundation last year. However, there is a line of caution here that the payers wouldn't want to cross, because, you know, small businesses may not be encouraged, because it's not mandatory, to provide healthcare coverage for employees if they thought that a plan was too expensive, if the offerings of the plans that they were able to provide to their employees were not efficient or compatible with the needs of their employees.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So what can small and individual health payers learn from a crisis situation like, say, the last year's pandemic? Or it's still ongoing,
really. Yeah. A very long pandemic. Yeah, well, we only declared in April, I think, that US was no longer in the pandemic phase. So surely, definitely a long one. But, you know, there have been various crises that have come and gone before, and they have impacted the healthcare insurance industries all the time. Payers have learned that they need to really react quickly to mitigate changes in cost and utilization of healthcare services that can go out of control in any situation. It may not just be the pandemic, but even as state and federal governments or, you know, regulatory bodies create mandates. Mm-hmm. The important thing, I think, is for them to respond in a timely and accurate manner, because these circumstances can mean, you know, they have to quickly update benefits in bulk, they have to generate new documentation, they have to update their claim systems, their rules, and, you know, all of the additional administrative tasks for managing the coverage. And all of this is also while they are looking to manage the state and or the IRS filings that they must follow to offer qualified health plans. Now, on the other hand, the payers have acknowledged that the millennial or Gen Z or Gen Alpha generations are growing to be more demanding. They are wanting an array of choice of benefits. They want to have more product offerings. And thus, the market has become more competitive than it was before. And they're realizing that the current methods of operations, because they are so long and so time consuming, they're not simply sustainable. And that is one of the reasons that they cannot compete effectively. I think there are lots of other learnings as well, like, you know, the remote health services, because it has issues like risk adjustments, compliance and regulatory issues, cybersecurity, because it needs to be considered, you know, with the shift to telehealth services, that you can and still need to deliver high quality care for everyone. There is a form of care, right, that, you know, makes us feel cared for when you visit a doctor. So I have a friend, you know, who works at a gynec office, and she very frequently talks about how the patients feel the need of actually seeing a doctor physically, or even if of the doctor seeing them, you know. So
although it makes a big difference, it does.
And although the shift is to telehealth services and it was needed because of the pandemic, it needs to be really visited and revisited and formalized and reformulized to make it better and efficient to give that virtual care. And we have also seen the impacts to the pharmacy landscape that has changed, because because the pandemic has had an impact on these formularies, the rebates, the market dynamics, and all of this can have an impact on the health plan's current and future pharmaceutical expenses as well, as they manage and maintain them. So I think there are quite a few things, you know, that they can learn with this, you know, pandemic and any situation like it that demands immediate turnover.
So what do you think is maybe the solution here? And how do you see small and individual health payers competing in such a market?
I think the problems really are twofold. One is creating attractive plans in terms of both benefits and costs. And then second, like I said before, a quick turnaround on changes due to any crisis or mandates. I think there is a need to bring automation into the process if you want to reach the markets effectively, and even if you want to add on new markets in order to expand from a healthcare peer perspective. Mm-hmm. Because just about everyone is facing uncertainty and some insecurity related to health, family, job, and the economy in general. Yeah. And there are bound to be short and long-term effects on payers. And we will need to think about, you know, this and their impacts. The new regulations from the No Surprises Act, they can cause strain in relationships between individuals, employers, payers, as well as the providers. So I think the small group and individual health plans will need to work harder to gain market share in such an evolving landscape. Mm-hmm. I believe there was a study from Accenture that came out last year. I think it was called The Future Belongs to Intelligent Payer Operations.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how intelligent digital transformation can pave the journey towards success for the payer market or for a payer, you know, in the payer industry. And I think it hit the nail on the head. That's the key here. There is tremendous pressure on payers to support revenue growth, improve the customer experience for their star ratings, and increase healthcare quality. So part of the journey towards digital transformation includes, you know, AI and automation and, you know, improving on that virtual healthcare. And this, you know, needs to be addressed both in terms of the digital front door to the members, because that is what the members are seeing, and even the back end offices. Nearly 75% of the 150 payers that Accenture surveyed echoed that need. Like it or not, you know, the digital transformation is going to play a pivotal role. It's going to fuel, it's going to drive, and it's also going to sustain future growth of the businesses for these small group and individual payers.
Yeah, that's a good insight and something for our payers to think about. And on that note, we need to wrap up this episode, Namrata. It's been great having you on the show. Thanks for a good discussion. And thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. We hope you can join us next time for another interesting conversation. Stay tuned.